Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this show and a dear and valued personal friend. He is our guy, Big Zay.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you tell me. You were up all night reporting it. What, 2 in the morning is when you filed?
Well, pretty good. Barring something completely unexpected, Allen Robinson will take a physical for the Bears Wednesday afternoon and then put his name on a contract. Presumably that'll happen Wednesday afternoon or maybe Thursday morning. But the Bears have reached an agreement with the Jaguars wide receiver to sign a contract here in Chicago. Nothing is binding until the opening of free agency, really until a guy puts his name on a contract. So you sort of wait and see to ensure that that happens. But Ryan Pace said at the Combine that they can improve the wide receiver position quickly. And I'd say that adding Allen Robinson is a heck of a good start in that direction for an overhaul at a position that has needed one.
And no doubt about that, Brad, and the reaction I'm sure you're getting, we're getting via the text line, and you know people are really happy about this because a year ago, even if you were the highest bidder, there were some guys who said thanks but no thanks, and I don't know how much you read into one signing, but we asked yesterday when we were talking with you whether it was a slam dunk that you make the first phone call to Allen Robinson and his agent, and it's the obvious, you know, the only question being the health, but it's the obvious move to make, and they successfully made it. So, there's a reason to be having a feel-good right now moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gives a piece to the offense that just wasn't on the roster at any point last year. Even if they're healthy last year, that guy's not on the roster now. Robinson's knee is supposed to be coming along just fine. He posts semi-regularly little video updates of what he's got going on in terms of box jumps and other things like that. And I've been told he should be fully cleared maybe by late spring, definitely well in advance of training camp. And the guy I talked to underscored multiple times this guy won't start training camp on the PUP list. You know, he'll be ready to roll when the Bears get to Bourbonnais, which will be a little bit earlier than usual because of the Hall of Fame game, and Allen Robinson will be out there. You know, he's a big player, 6'3", about 211, runs well. Also, talking to an offensive coordinator that's worked for him in the past, he's a big guy that plays big is what he told me, because sometimes you see these guys who are tall but they don't necessarily play big, and Allen Robinson will play to his size. He will win the contested catches down the field. He's got the speed to have a lot of success running vertical routes. The guy I talked to said, you know, he says, listen, I don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back from the knee, but guys come back from ACLs all the time, and that he thought, you know, you're talking about similar frame as Alshon Jeffery with maybe a little bit more speed.
What does this say about the way free agents perceive the Bears? I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, Brad. You have a hard time getting a frontline guy to come here. Now you got an offensive-minded coach. You got a quarterback. Did that help get the deal done? Are they perceived differently? Are the Bears perceived like a destination? I don't know.
Well, I think they've got a new coaching staff in place, so you feel like there's some stability. A year from now, you took a look at it, you saw what had happened for John Fox in the first 2 years of his deal. You knew he was on a four-year deal. You did the simple math, and you said, oh, boy, he's going to have to win much more this season to stay around. So it just looked like you could be headed to a place where, you know, they were going to be one and done if you signed there. So I think that's a big change. Yeah, you get a young quarterback that creates some optimism and some positive vibes, but new coaching staff, stability, that all helps. That really does. And you have to imagine that played a factor for Allen Robinson, who, you know, had a huge season in his second year in the league with Blake Bortles. You talk about 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, dipped a little bit in 2016, his third year, and then, of course, suffered the knee injury in the opener a year ago.
Yeah, with Sammy Watkins reports going, he's going to the Chiefs. One of the storylines of the combine was Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, saying that, you know, Albert Wilson certainly knows a lot about Matt Nagy and, you know, implied that connect the dots there. He's headed here in free agency. Apparently he's visited or is talking to Miami. Is he off the Bears' radar, or how's that playing out?
I wouldn't say that he's off the radar. I suppose that's possible, but he's a guy that I believe that the Bears had hoped to add all the time. But to me, the big thing was getting one of the top two, Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins, and I believe the money for Robinson's going to come in a little bit less than the money for Sammy Watkins. I think Watkins is... You look at some of the reports online right now, guys, and that's Sammy Watkins at about $16 million a year. So you had to get one of the top two. If they don't get Albert Wilson, I think they can come up with a slot receiver that's going to be productive for them in the scheme. I mean, you look at Kendall Wright, the final month of the season, guys, he was pretty darn good. And you look for bigger explanations. Part of the reason he didn't do a whole lot earlier in the year was the targets weren't there. So maybe you bring a guy like that back, or you find a guy with a skill set that you like and you bring him in. But, you know, Albert Wilson, at the end of the day, I wouldn't get too worked up about. I think he had 32 catches going into the season finale last year for the Chiefs. They put Patrick Mahomes in at quarterback. They played the Denver Broncos, and he had 10 catches for close to a buck 50 in that game, kind of pumped up his numbers for that season. So they had to get one of the big two if they were really going to make a movement toward overhauling the position. And if they can add Wilson, I think that's great. If not, they ought to be able to find a slot receiver that can go to work for him.
Okay, so you got that done. That's great. I don't know that that they're finished or should be finished, but what else? I mean, you would think a corner, right? Or you would think,
yeah.
I mean, there's no pass rushers available, so you got to wait for the draft.
Right, yeah, you can't create one of those. I mean, maybe they can find a guy who's got some traits as a pass rusher or has come off some injuries, but there's not one that really jumps out at you. I mean, people talked about, I saw a report yesterday that 10 teams were interested in Trent Murphy of the Redskins, and Trent Murphy is a guy who had a really bad knee injury last year. It was ACL and one of the other ligaments, and has done time in the program for performance-enhancing drugs. And he's had one really productive season. Well, one productive season, I should say, rushing the passer in Washington. So that gives you an idea how thin the market is. Yeah, I think they need to get a cornerback to play opposite Kyle Fuller. My hunch is that they're not looking for a guy that's going to make more than Fuller. That's the deepest position right now on the open market, in my opinion. So you could consider bringing back Prince Amukamara. But there's a handful of guys out there, so I'm curious if maybe they let the market kind of settle a little bit before they make a move there. If you try to strike first in a situation like this, you might have to pay a little bit of a premium if you wait for things to settle just a little, and I'm not talking about waiting deep into free agency by any stretch, but maybe the market comes to you a little bit at a little bit closer to your price, because there's just a lot of veteran cornerbacks available. I'm not sure all of them are going to get what they're looking for dollar-wise, but if you're going to get one of these guys who's kind of in the middle of his career, it would make some sense at least, or maybe a lot of sense, to go with Prince, because A, you know what he can do. B, you know how he fits in your locker room, and you know what he's going to do. Some of the other guys out there might be intriguing, but you'd probably have a few more questions about them.
You still have to use one of the later rounds on a wide receiver, right, when you get to the draft?
I mean, I think you've got to, yeah, you've got to look for a wide receiver that you want to develop and bring along. That depends what else they get done in free agency at the position. Obviously, they tendered Cameron Meredith and Josh Bellamy yesterday, but if you see a wide receiver you really like in round two, I think you've got to go for it. They need to build a core of young players at that position. Allen Robinson, currently 24, will turn 25 in late August, shortly before the season starts.
Brad, we'll let you go. Just quickly on the way out, the quarterback movement in the league is something we're all monitoring. Obviously, you look at Case Keenum going to Dallas. That would seemingly open up a lot
Denver.
Of possibilities. Going to Denver. That would seemingly open up a lot of possibilities, and certainly, I guess Arizona now is front runner for Cousins. Is that right? And what does Minnesota do?
Well, yeah, that if the music stops playing and the Vikings don't have Kirk Cousins, you're going to wonder a little bit about that situation. I wondered if Cousins thought he might have a little more in terms of teams pursuing him, but I think when his deal's all said and done, it's going to shine and look pretty bright for future quarterbacks to piggyback off of. But Keenum to Denver was real interesting, and it was a smart move by the Broncos. You jump out, you get that done, and you get your guy when you decide maybe you're not going to wait around for the Cousins thing to play out. And, yeah, Minnesota, I don't know. You know, do you want right. to bring back Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because they've got that is a Super Bowl-ready defense. It sure didn't play like it in the NFC Championship game.
And the running back's coming back. I mean, got a lot, right?
I mean, they've got the wide receivers. They're probably going to do a little bit of work maybe on the offensive line this offseason. They've got to find a D lineman, but you know, that's a defense that's ready for another deep playoff run.
Drew Brees.
Well, all right.
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know what you go Brett Favre for a year.
Wouldn't that be something?
I paid cash money to watch him. All right, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
Thanks,
that
Brad.
Is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man from the Tribune. Wow.
This segment of our show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
312-644-6767. The Bears are a better team. How good are they? What do you make of it? Are you, as a Bear fan, does this not fire you up? 312-644-6767. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Little Astro Man.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, things are getting stormy. 312-644-6767.
You know, it's funny. I was just going to suggest. I'm only doing this now because you just said what you just
what
said.
What did I say?
I almost thought you could have written that joke for the president, the short joke.
Oh, really? You're attacking me? Why? Because I'm taller than you?
No, because you always like to bring it up.
What?
I always like to talk about people's height.
I've never in my life talked about anyone's height or looked down upon anyone. I don't know where this is coming from. I mean, good God, Dustin. What's it like, Napoleon, to go through life challenged
by every
person that's like head taller than you? What am I supposed to do?
Stormy times ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know if you got the stormy reference. I thought that's when we'll get your attention.
Yeah. I just thought
So am I. By the way, stay tuned today. Qualify another listener for Cubs season tickets.
How awesome is
Chance
that?
Chance to win Cubs season tickets. So stay tuned when you hear Pat and Ron give you the cue to call. Be caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, and you will qualify for a chance to have season tickets from your Chicago Cubs.
How would you like to be a season ticket holder with the season they're on the cusp of having?
That'd be wonderful.
Stay tuned. That's all I can tell you. Keith is in Elmhurst. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everyone doing on this bright, sunny Chicago Bears day?
There it is.
Keith, how tall a man are you?
I am about 5 foot, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
That's why you got on the show.
Actually, I'm 5'10". Okay, hey, fellas, I got an interesting point for you guys here. The other wide receiver that I think the Bears could target is John Brown. Number one, he played with one of the best wide receivers in the game. So his practice habits, you never heard anything off the field with him. He would be a good complimentary number two. You put John Brown in there, you draft someone in the lower round, in the third or fourth round, you develop him, and then you go out and you get another tight end. I like the tight end from Penn State, actually, in the draft. I don't know if they'll do back-to-back tight end drafts, but you get him in the later round, too. And then you sign the offensive guard that's going to be a mauler for the run game. And then you put your pieces together. You got young talent in place. And then you're set at the wide receiver position without overpaying for someone, say, like that guy that was out in Los Angeles and he can't catch a pass.
Listen, I'm all for Smokey Brown. Anybody with the nickname Smokey is number one in my book. Okay, Keith? So that sounds good. Why not? Let's keep going. Don't stop now, boys.
No, there's more work to be done here.
Yes, there is.
For Ryan Pace and the and his staff. And
Smokey
you need
Brown,
a tight end?
5'11", not quite 6 feet tall. Don't know how you feel about prototypes, Dustin. How tall should a producer be, Brian, in your opinion, in your estimation?
Over 5 feet.
Well, thank God he wasn't 2 inches taller. Otherwise, he'd be in the league and he wouldn't be here.
I know. We're so lucky that Dustin...
That I wasn't 6'1".
Yeah.
Dustin told us that if he were a little bit taller, he'd have played in the NFL.
Right.
And then one... I mean, again, I don't know if this counts as what would you call it? Like the booze talking? But in Vegas, he got up in a restaurant and showed us his form as he was pass blocking.
Pass pro.
How was it as an expert and an observer?
I would say absurd.
Yeah.
I think.
But it was Vegas, so no one really cared.
It was a crowded restaurant.
People just walking
people
around.
People trying to get around him, and he's like going back and forth. It was a little bit absurd.
Would you wear a collared shirt if you were in the NFL? That was a big thing.
Well, in the NFL, it's not a requirement.
Yes, you'd have to wear a logo.
In the post game.
That could keep you out of the league.
In the post game, I would wear a collared shirt.
Because
they would always have like 6 foot nothing centers up at the podium after a Bears game.
Didn't he tell Olin that if he had been taller, Olin would have been the Bears center after him?
I mean, again, we're kidding, but I said
you were not kidding.
Yes,
you are delusional, and we all know it. So why pretend?
I would make more contact than the guy that replaced Olin at center. I would make more contact than him.
Than Roberto Garza?
Yeah, I mean an offensive lineman who doesn't like to make contact. I mean, he makes contact with weights. Don't get me wrong. The guy is stronger than anybody I've ever seen. He's unbelievably strong. And he was like selling donuts in the Jewels, too. Remember he had like Garza donuts? You ever see those?
Did you know that he was missing an ACL in his knee?
It must have been from all that weight he lifted.
Wild?
He had Garza donuts? I never saw those.
I didn't either, but I, you know.
So when I was getting my David Rossi's, what were they? Rossi Flakes?
What was the?
I am looking at the Roberto Garza donuts right now.
Are they still a product?
No, damn it.
It's
no longer a real product. He's been out of the league for a long time. But
sprinkles or no?
No, there are no sprinkles, so
yeah,
that's
out.
A pass for me.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, 5 grams of protein. Super donut. Got Roberto Garza's mug right on the front.
Yeah, I saw them at the grocery store in the same aisle as the BG7 energy drink.
Knocked down the Ben Gordon.
Only $3.29 a box. Yeah.
What was your favorite discontinued athlete product? 312-644-6767. Hey, we're gonna talk tournament with Tim Doyle in just a minute. Joe, Tim Doyle likes to to talk about college basketball, and he also likes to look into the, you know,
a lot.
The investment.
And he doesn't need any energy drinks. He's already.
Yeah, he's already shot out of a can and half man, half cappuccino. Tim Doyle next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tim Doyle joins us, our man at Watch Stadium, their fine host. Tim, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Mully and Hanley. You know, I credit you guys for starting my career, so I appreciate every paycheck I get every 2 weeks.
Well, that was on Brian. Don't drag me into it.
How you doing, Timmy?
I'm doing really well, really well. Excited this time of year. You know, I got some teams that are still upset that, you know, they didn't get into the tournament and they should expand the tournament a little bit more. I think the committee did an okay job. I do feel bad for kind of the little guys, the Davids, because, you know, no one wants to schedule them. No one wants to schedule home games with Middle Tennessee. But, you know, I'm kind of the Shannon Tweed of college basketball announcers. I do, like, the late-night Cinemax games after midnight. And I know a lot of these kind of mid-major type teams, and I love to see them early in the tournament. I got a lot of double-digit seeds guys moving on early, but I would like to see more Davids get chances, but, you know, the committee sees otherwise.
Molly and I were talking about this, I think maybe even off the show yesterday, that the message here is don't talk about strength of schedule, non-con games and all that. It's if you don't get your automatic qualifying bid from the smaller mid-major conferences, you're not going. I mean, you have to be.
I know. And it's unfortunate, Brian, because I think we watched the tournament for two reasons. One, we love the Cinderella stories. We love to see those teams come out of nowhere, whether this year it's Loyola or it's Murray State or it's Buffalo. But we love those teams early. And then later in the tournament, we want to see the big boys knock heads. We want to see Duke play Michigan State. We want to see Villanova. We want to see Virginia. Are they for real? Xavier, Gonzaga. So we like the little guys winning early, but we like to see the big boys late.
That's a fair way of putting it. How many teams, Tim? I mean, when you look at this, how many teams do you think have a legitimate shot to win the NCAA tournament? I've heard anything from 7 to 20.
Yeah, I think there's only two right now. And I had four kind of all year. I was right around that four number, being Villanova being my favorite, Michigan State, Duke and Purdue. Now, if you look at the East bracket, you're going to have Villanova and Purdue. I have those two teams matching up. And then Michigan State's going to play Duke. This is crazy to think, but they're going to play in the Sweet 16 in my eyes. I think Michigan State, they open up in Detroit, so they're going to be able to advance there. They got some favorable matchups. And then, you know, I think a great game that has a lot of potential is if Oklahoma advances. They beat Rhode Island in the first round. I know they're a small two-point underdog in that game. Oklahoma would play Duke. So you got maybe the most polarizing player in college basketball and Trae Young going up against the most polarizing team. You know, you say Duke, you have a feeling you either love them or you hate them. So that could be a great second round matchup between Oklahoma and Duke.
What do you make of Loyola's shot at Florida or Miami, excuse me?
Yeah, I think Loyola may be the biggest lock I've seen in all the NCAA tournaments. If you have not watched the Ramblers play, Porter Moses deserves to get a high major job because built that program. Now they dumped some money into it. They have the perfect, and I mean perfect, arena for that type of setting up there. And they do all the little things. They're almost like a throwback type team where take good care of the basketball, take really good shots. I mean, they're 28-5, and they went down to Florida when Florida's playing really well and beat the Gators. Now they play a Miami team that, sure, they may lose, but they're going to have to play one of their worst games of the year. Not only do they have them beaten Miami, I have Tennessee advancing over Wright State. I have them beating Tennessee. I have Loyola in the Sweet 16. I've just been so impressed with the style of play. You know, right now I think the game is kind of elevated talent-wise and athleticism-wise, but the great equalizer, I believe, in basketball, whether it's at the college level or the pro level, is if you know how to play. If you know kind of all the nuances, making the extra pass, setting a good screen, and that's what Loyola does. So I think Loyola's path is extremely favorable. So I don't have them winning one game. I have them winning two games.
And before we get to your double-digit specials, I was reading a Washington Post story, and apparently last year they were almost spot on with the teams that they thought had a chance to win it all, and three of the final four teams were off their metric, which is an efficiency metric. And, you know, for Virginia, for all the doubters out there that Virginia's defense isn't going to hold up in this kind of plotting, grinded out style, according to this metric, they're like a historically high team when it comes to efficiency. And that's why they're not only the number one overall seed, but that they really have a legitimate shot of winning this whole thing.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I think the problem is, Brian, is they've just kind of choked this time of year. I think this team's a little bit different. I think they're a little bit better from an offensive standpoint. Kyle Guy was a guy who was a McDonald's All-American and can really shoot the ball. They have more scores. What's been the problem with them in the past is they've always played great defense, but late in the shot clock, you know, they didn't really have a guy go out there and just go make a hard bucket like a grown man basket. And now they do. They have multiple guys that could do that. I just wonder, with college kids in a tight game, do they start kind of reliving years of the past? Like, oh, boy, here we go again.
Yeah, when times get down, tough, yeah.
Yeah, if they get down 8 or 10 points in a game, you know, are they able to kind of make that comeback? But if they get the lead, I mean, they feel like when they're up 7 or 8 points, that they're up 20. I mean, because they just don't make any mistakes. I actually have them losing in the finals of the South region in a game that they will play potentially Cincinnati, and that might be a score that's 42-40 because Cincinnati plays really good defense, and that's the type of team that can muddy up really ugly a game against Virginia, and they go to the glass. So, yeah, I think Virginia's going to be tough, but I'm going to pick against them just because I do think the past will catch up with them.
You know, Tim, we always kind of look for, you know, I don't know, senior guards, leadership guards, whatever way you want to put it. And, you know, certainly there are some of these seeds that have really good guard play. Does guard play matter as much in the tournament as ever?
I think so. You know, we're going to see this in two cases with guards, okay? Arizona has the best player in college basketball. It's not even close. If you watch DeAndre Ayton in the Pac-12 tournament, because I'm a sick, sick man. I stayed up late and watched both of Arizona's wins as they went out and won a very, very mediocre Pac-12. He's the next David Robinson, okay? Now, they wow. play Buffalo in the first round, and I think it's a really bad matchup for them. But if you watch those games, you go, whoa, Arizona's got this amazing player. No doubt about it. But they can't really shoot from the outside. They don't really shoot the three extremely well. And when Alonzo Trier's not making shots, I'm going to watch Buffalo pack in this defense. Now, Ayton may have 32 points and 18 rebounds, but Arizona may only score 55 points. So Arizona's guard play really scares me. I think they lose to Buffalo. And on the flip side of that bracket, this is a bad matchup for West Virginia because Bob Huggins likes to press. He likes to get up in you. He likes to try to change your philosophy. But he either loses in the first round or he advances to the Sweet 16 because West Virginia is so hard to prepare for on short rest. So when you're filling out your bracket, if you like West Virginia, well, then you have to automatically move them to the Sweet 16. This is a bad matchup against Murray State. I believe Murray State has two NBA players in their backcourt. John Morant's only a freshman. He had a triple-double earlier this year against Eastern Illinois. And Jonathan Stark reminds me of a mini Kemba Walker. So this is actually a bad matchup for West Virginia. And you're going to give Murray State 4 full days to prepare and practice, put an extra defender out there, work on the pressure. This is just it's just one of those things where Murray State can actually play West Virginia's style. So I have Murray State not winning one game. I have them winning 2 games just because their guards are really, really good.
So you've got Buffalo winning, knocking off Arizona right out of the box?
Yeah, I got Buffalo going to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
I got Murray State going to the Sweet 16. I have Texas A&M going to the Sweet 16. I mean, if we learned anything from college basketball this year, which is so funny, because every higher seed is favorite in every single game in the tournament. It's only happened a handful of times in the history of the NCAA tournament. If you watch college basketball this year, even just a little bit, you realize the crazy things that happened all season long. So if you could just go up there and bet every single favorite, I mean, more power to you. But what this past season has shown is really any team can beat any team on any given night. Just ask North Carolina, which is a 2 seed, they lost to Wofford at home. I mean, you can go through almost any team in this tournament, and they've had some bad losses. So, you know, you got to kind of take some shots because there's going to be some double-digit teams that move on. I think Loyola goes to the Sweet 16. So I think if you haven't watched a lot of mid-major basketball, you just recognize the brand name of Kentucky or Missouri or whatever it is, and you just kind of advance those teams on. But you got to take some shots in your bracket.
Well, I told Mully I had Loyola now in the Sweet 16. I got him in the Elite Eight, and I scratched him out. Yeah, but and I had A&M going to Sweet 16, and I didn't get to Buffalo and Murray State.
What was the guy's name again? Jay, what's his name on ESPN?
Jay Billis?
No, the little guard who used to play for the Bulls.
Oh, Jay Williams.
Jay Williams. He said that he didn't think a single double-digit seed would advance beyond the first round. Like, I mean, even if you even
not
if
paying
you,
attention,
even if you're not paying attention, like, isn't that bound to happen? It's insane.
Yeah, I know, but it's good that you remembered that, Mully. Like,
I will remember that forever, Tim.
I remember Desmond Howard came on before the Michigan Alabama football game, and so I was like, all right, let's see who he's going to pick. And I obviously a Michigan grad. He goes, I like Michigan in this game. You know, the Denard Robinson, the dynamic. And I went, okay, so let's. They were losing 35-0 at halftime to Alabama. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, I get that you went to Michigan, but also you got to do your job. Like, if you lose, right. It's one thing if you're losing 10-0 or 14. They're losing 35-0 at halftime. Like, from that point on, I've actually never listened to Desmond Howard. Like, when he comes on, I just mute him. And then when anybody else comes on, I unmute them because I can't trust his football opinion.
Well, you just fade him at that point.
Yeah, you call him up. Hey, who do you like? So, Tim, if I asked you for like a best bet in the opening round of the tournament, who would it be?
Yeah, I really like Murray State. I think last time I saw they were double-digit underdog in that game. I think they're going to win straight up. You know, I think that there's so much parity in college basketball, and the great equalizer now is going to be the neutral court, you know? And so teams like New Mexico State that I think are going to win in the first round, and the Buffaloes of the world, and I think Texas A&M is going to advance. But I do think that there's a lot of star players out there, and this will be maybe the last year of the one and done. So enjoy watching Trae Young, enjoy watching Michael Porter Jr. I'm intrigued by Missouri. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to advance. They may take on Xavier, who's the number one seed in the West. DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley. I mean, you know, the one and done, it's been, I think, a terrible thing for college basketball because it's certainly increased the cheating because you get a chance to land, you know, potentially a DeAndre Ayton. And I do think they're going to do away with that rule sooner rather than later, maybe even as soon as next season. So, enjoy watching these guys because they're amazing talents and they're going to be game changers for whatever franchise they go to. And, you know, where the Bulls are sitting right now, guys, you know, just depends, you know, how many games they lose down the stretch because they can end up with a franchise changing player.
Of the Big Ten teams, who do you like? Duke or Michigan State knocking off Duke or Purdue?
Yeah, I do think that both those teams get to the same point in the season. I do think Michigan State comes out of the Midwest. I mean, their front line of Ward and Bridges and Jackson, I believe, is the best front line in college basketball. And maybe I'm still a little scarred because I was at Allstate Arena when Northwestern was winning by 27 points, and I thought, oh, wow, Michigan State's not that good. And then they have that ability to flip that switch, and obviously the largest comeback in Big Ten history to knock off the Cats at Allstate Arena. I do think that this will be Tom Izzo's last season. I think that he coaches this team, and I'm not sure if he's the coach going forward for Michigan State. I think this is an immensely talented team. I'm not sure it's going to be the same team next year because Bridges is going to be a first-round pick. Jackson's going to be a lottery pick. And who knows what this offseason is going to bring for all of college basketball. Obviously, Michigan State has been kind of a black cloud hanging over them all season long. So I do think that this is going to be kind of that one last run. I do think Michigan State makes the Final Four. They're the team I have from the Big Ten advancing the furthest.
All righty, Tim. Thanks, buddy.
You're going to ask me who won? Villanova's your champion, Mully and Hanley. Villanova, the Wildcats, they're the champions.
We don't care who won. We needed some long shots in the first round, buddy.
That's for next week.
We'll talk to you again. Yeah. All right, Tim.
Thanks, Timmy.
That's Tim Doyle, stadium host, mad at us because we didn't ask who was going to win it. We got to keep going. We're moving. We're getting it done. We're going to bring in Rick Ballew next, 1010 XL Sports down in Jacksonville. He's the Jags sideline reporter, and we'll ask him if Allen Robinson can get done what he got done down in Jacksonville, how's he going to do with a real quarterback? No, we're not that mean. Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.